flirt, flirt, flirt.
Good morning or afternoon or evening or anything. This is the Freedom Fiends Live Blort. Talk Radio Show. I'm Nima Vidotti. Over there, blorting in the back,
Blort.
That's Michael W. Dean. He's in the Wormabago somewhere in the Mountain West. Where are you at today, Mr. Dean?
I'm just chilling. We're here in Nebraska, of all places.
Ooh.
We are coming to you today from, what's the name of this town? It's one that sounds like somewhere in Sweden. What is it, DJ?
Are there towns in Nebraska?
Gothenburg, where my mother was born. Yeah, we decided to come visit Gothenburg,
it's
Nebraska.
Where Batman's grandpa lives.
No, that's Gotham, man. That's where they live. No. Man, I'm in a good mood. I was sick for 3 weeks, and it just passed last night. And I was, like, so healthy and happy, I just couldn't get to sleep. And I slept about 4 hours, and I woke up ready to battle tyranny. I wish we were starting our third hour today, but we're not. We're going to start, we're going to add an hour soon.
Mm.
Did you tell your wife yet?
Mm.
Did you?
I said,
Are we on speakerphone?
Yeah.
You gotta tell your wife you're adding an hour to the show.
I know. She's got a lot on her plate now.
I'll text her right now.
Don't do that.
Yeah. All right. So I found the weirdest thing in my basement. The guy that lived in this house used to be a Marine, and he moved out.
Once a Marine, always a Marine.
Yeah. Well, apparently he had there's this pile of crap in the basement. It was like in a drawer under.
Can you say that on the radio?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And we didn't need to dump that. It was,
we don't need to dump the crap.
No, because we've talked about capitalism, which is fake capitalism in bed with the government. We call it capitalism. Mm-hmm. We've said that. So, so I found this thing. It was like the Junior Tyranny Kit. It was from the Iraq War. I found some antiques from the Iraq War. It was like this thing that they give soldiers and military people from America when they go over to like spread the heck out of democracy, to bomb people back into the democracy age. It's like, it's amazing, man. It's like everything
to love you so much that they'll kill your whole city.
Everything you need to know to go over and like bring the Republic. It's like the Republic in a fold out that like folds out to the size of a map. And
right.
It's kind of laminated paper. It's the government in your pocket. It's basically got like Farsi, Kurdish, and Arabic like phonetic translations for things like put your hands behind your head, turn over your weapons. We're from the American government and we're here to liberate you. Seriously, man. And it's got like basic first aid for humans and animals. It's got the difference between Sunni, Shia, Coptic Christians, and like 12 other groups. Actually, every American should read this thing so they don't just go those people are all the same, because it and it has the rules of engagement. It's like, don't fire into civilian areas unless it's in self-defense, don't be rude, don't steal private property, and useful things too, like that I didn't know, like Don't compliment an Iraqi on his possessions too heavily, or he may feel compelled to give them to you and then expect something of equal value in return. I didn't know that. So it's basically
kind of
like, you know, it's like the travel guide for, you know, travel the world, meet interesting people, and kill them.
is that yours? I've heard that before.
It's a T-shirt. I used to have that when I was... Okay. It was from the Vietnam War. It said, like, join the army, travel the world, go to exotic places, meet unusual, interesting people, kill them. So, like, I was reading this thing, and then I started sneezing really bad, and I realized this thing had mold on it, because it was in a plastic bag since the Iraq War was over in my basement.
It was in a section of your basement that flooded, didn't it?
Yeah, I did a long time ago. So I'd never like cleaned out these sub basement drawers, and I was sneezing while I was reading this thing in fascination. My wife's like, "So what? You're allergic to government documents, I guess."
Well, although it didn't cure your sickness.
Yeah, I guess
it did. It was like penicillin.
It was like some kind of Iraqi
government
flu. Yeah, it's probably that'd be an extra added thing. Like too, it's dipped in penicillin. You know,
dipped
so if you
in
get,
smallpox.
If you get shot, if you one side's smallpox, the other side's penicillin. Yeah. Yeah. So
there was something else interesting in it, wasn't there? That it had a list of things that were important or priorities of importance.
Yeah.
For Iraqis, and government was like not in the top three or something. It was like below that.
Yeah, it was like, well, it was for Sunni, Shia, Coptic Christians and a couple other groups I couldn't even pronounce, you know, let alone like most Americans think all those people are the same. But it's like, this actually tells you when you're going over to liberate and or kill them, the differences in how to recognize them and how to treat them. And, you know, it had this chart of like the five different types of groups of people over there. And like from bottom to top, what's mildly important, very important, and not important, from like family to clan to tribe to nation to religion, no, religion to nation to pan-nationalism, which was like, you know, to some of them, like, to a lot of them, like, being Islamic is more important than their government. Now, people like Glenn Beck criticize that, like, oh, yeah, they're scary because they're pan-national. Well,
they worry about the neo-fascist caliphate.
Yeah.
There's going to be some kind of uber-Arabic or Islamic state from Morocco to the Philippines.
Which isn't really an agenda as much as Glenn Beck thinks it is. But
right. Well, Scott Horton likes to joke that the Islamo-fascist caliphate was Osama bin Laden in his mom's attic watching porno movies on
VHS. Yeah, basically. So it's like, you know, it's kind of interesting to me, though, that, like, government is less important to them than other things. And I kind of like that, man. I don't
think kind of like that, or that's, like, your whole thing.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. Well, I don't know much about the aspects of it, but, you know, I like that, man. It's cool. So speaking of the military, I want to welcome our new listeners in Schweinfurt, the American servicemen over there listening to us on their Knox Talk Radio app. This is a thing, man, because like apparently like we're not only big in Knoxville, but we're big. And I want to welcome the 50,000 watts of tyranny-busting power, WKVL 850 AM in Knoxville, Knox Talk Radio.
Knox Talk.
Yeah, and I want to, but I've been stationed in Schweinfurt, not in the military. I was with a rock band called Bomb. I mean, they have bombs, but we had a band called Bomb. I was stationed there for a month while we were rehearsing before our European tour in 1990 or 91. Like, you know, we were over there when Germany reunified. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Well,
you're dropping mad tracks, mad bomb tracks.
Yeah, it wasn't cool that Germany reunified. I mean, that's kind of like Hitler liked a unified Germany. But no, I think it was pretty cool that that it stopped being the Berlin Wall and some people who were locked up by the United States and Russia and England could suddenly venture out in the world.
Yeah, yeah. People who had their freedom sold out to the Soviets by FDR.
Over tea. Yeah. Yeah. We also want to welcome Wywoo, which is what I call it. It's W-Y-O-O. It's W-Y-O-O, 101.1 FM in Panama City, Florida. 12,000 watts of tyranny-busting power. And that's not 50,000. 50,000, you have to understand, there aren't a lot of radio stations in America. They're 50 in the world. They're 50,000 watts. We're on one of them. We were on another one, but I don't know, something happened. I guess the bean stocks had to, I don't know, something.
It was a scheduling issue.
Yeah, it was a scheduling issue. Yeah. Yeah, man, I'm not sick anymore. Can you tell? Oh, I also want to mention, like, people were asking, oh, and if the soldiers in Schweinfurt want to thank us for our service in the tyranny fight, they can email us at talkback@freedomfiends.com. And the reason I say that is, like, we're actually risking our lives because the government wants to kill us because we're having free speech. I mean, you know, you're not risking your life. Schweinfurt's cool, man. It's not dangerous, though, man. You're in Schweinfurt. You're in Germany drinking German beer with teenagers. Well, teenagers can drink over there. So, yeah, at the Biergarten. Yeah. You know, have fun over there. But we're the ones risking our lives because the government wants to kill us. And we're going to talk more about that today. But the whole thing today, the whole motif is the government's lying to you because the media lies to you. We're not even going to call it the mainstream media because sometimes the mainstream media gets it right. And sometimes the independent media gets it wrong, as we're going to find out. But,
yeah,
we want to talk about Iran. We're going to start in Iran and their crazy media, and then we're going to move to America and say how it's just matters of degrees, how they're different. What did we find out about Iran? What are they saying about what they call the Obama regime? And anybody out there who's like a right-winger who says, I don't like those Iranians, you should know that you guys at least agree on you both hate Obama, man. They hate Obama. They think he's worse than Hitler. They think he's an alien.
They think he's an alien.
Read this, man.
So FARS News Service, which some people describe as a semi-official or semi-state news service in Iran, they've reprinted articles from The Onion before, an Onion article saying that Americans from the South would rather vote for President Ahmadinejad than Barack Obama.
They probably would, though.
Yeah, could be true. That's part of what makes The Onion so hilarious, is there's little kernels of truth in their humor. But most recently, they picked up a story from, what's it called? Look up the whatdoesthismean.com. That's it.
Which is like a crazy, we'll print anything conspiracy site, apparently. Yeah, yeah. Like,
it's, and what they printed was that according to the Snowden documents, there's incontrovertible proof that an alien extraterrestrial intelligence agenda is driving U.S. and domestic international policy and has been doing so since 1945, and that there's a race of tall whites running the world since then.
And that doesn't mean like, you know, people that are taller than Nima and I. It means like, And there's a picture. This is in like the Iranian semi-official news agency. You can go to farsnews.com. Just search Snowden documents proving U.S. alien Hitler. And they have an English version of this. And they basically, they quote where they're reprinting it from. It's basically like if CNN reprinted the Weekly World News saying Elvis is alive and CNN reprinted his fact, you know?
Yeah, I don't think Fars is as credible to many people as CNN is here, but I don't even know if CNN has the, deserves its credibility that it gets here.
Yeah.
But yeah, they have this hilarious picture, the Fars news agency does, of an American flag. Barack Obama's on the left, Hitler's on the right, and there's aliens all in the back, like transparent aliens.
Yeah, man, this is awesome. This is their official state news.
Yes. So tall whites, according to the article, are only some of several types of extraterrestrials that are working with the U.S. Air Force.
There's also grays, apparently.
Oh, there's tall grays or short grays.
Yeah. And, you know, people were wondering why my voice sounded so funny on the last episode. It's because I was running through a ring modulator because I was trying to experiment to see if that frequency would better attract the aliens at Alpha Centauri that are going to hear our radio signal.
Apparently it did, because they're coming clean now to Fars News.
We should go. I don't want to go work in Iran.
We don't have to wait for our radio waves to reach Alpha Centauri.
Apparently,
the aliens
they
are
have.
Here, man.
Yeah, they're here.
The NSA's been listening to it, and they're all aliens anyway.
There's a bunch of huge crows in my backyard. Maybe they're like alien robots, or maybe they're from the NSA. So we want to talk about how the NSA is secretly running the U.S. as a shadow government, and we'll be back with more on that on the Freedom Fiends and why you should turn off the Lio Vision and turn on the Fiends.
Yeah.
Yow.
Yow.
Blort!
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
This is Nima Vedati from the Freedom Fiends. Using government-printed funny money fuels and encourages wars abroad, and the wars at home against you and all you hold dear. Why should you remain beholden to self-appointed federal kings who don't care if you starve in a cage? Become your own king today by owning gold and silver from Midas Resources. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Midas Resources banner over on the right, or go to gold.freedomfiends.com. That's gold.freedomfiends.com.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on sheep,
and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
Hey, this is Squisscar Squig Elves from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now. So there you go.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Care.
I don't care. I'm just talking, man. I'm just rapping on the radio. Are we on?
Is flirting a verb, too? Is flirt just a noun? This is Freedom Fiends. Flirt. That's the question we're asking. Flirt. Is it a noun?
Hello.
A verb? What is flirt?
Stop it, man.
It's just onomatopoeia.
My mother listens to the show from heaven.
Does she?
From heaven.
From Alpha Centauri, where people go when they die.
It is, yeah.
And then come back to run the NSA.
So apparently we're talking about aliens and conspiracy theories today, but there's a conspiracy theory I want to get around to that's like actually real, or at least there's a movie on Netflix about it. I think that makes it real.
That's the definition of real. Yeah. Netflix.
Yeah.
We made it. It's Netflix.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. So, we're offering something new now that's pretty darn cool. It's, we're offering Freedom Fiends buttons, 10 buttons of 5 different designs, 2 packs of each one for $10. And you get a present. You get a data DVD of like 68 of our episodes and one of our movies, Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, and a whole bunch of other stuff. It's like home burned, pirating ourselves DVD. And this thing has been burning off the shelves, and you got to order them. They're really cool. It helps the fiends. We only make like 67 cents on each $10 order with everything. But you got to order them, man, because it helps the fiends, and you really need to have data discs of us, like a lot of us, in case we get droned.
Do they
man
need to have that?
They need it, because if we get droned, they're gonna need that to like spread it to the next generation of liberty. Our whole purpose on the Freedom Fiends, we don't want to be radio stars. We want to like replace ourselves. We want to be spreading this kind of radio, because there's only two shows like this, really. There's us and there's Free Talk Live. I actually heard Free Talk Live last night talk our brothers in non-arms. Well, we're armed, but they're not. I don't know. I think one of them's a felon, convicted felon, and the other one he's a Zen Buddhist or something. But they're like guys, they're not gun guys, but they're like all their friends are open carrying all the time. I kind of like that in guys.
They don't have to be.
They don't have to be, man. Yeah. But they were talking about BitTorrent. They were like, Mark said, some guy asked me if, and you know, if you're not a convicted felon, you're not doing it right, I think. And like, Ian commits like 3 felonies a show. You should have heard him last
night,
man.
Just a day.
He was awesome last night. I can't even go into it, but you can go listen to the archives.
Yeah.
But they were saying that like they're so evangelical about Bitcoin that somebody asked them, so Bitcoin, I don't know, is that like some multi-level marketing scheme?
Why? It's
no,
the opposite.
Because they're so evangelical about it. But we take Bitcoin for data for the Freedom Fiends buttons. You can write us and ask us. We'll send you our Bitcoin. You can donate in Bitcoin. You can buy ads. We're having a sale right now. Most people don't give their ad rates out of radio. We sell 30-second ads 1 month. That's 8 plays in a month, Saturday and Sunday, on all 19 of our stations for $200 a month. Or if you get 4 months at once, it's $600, so it's $150 or something like that. So write us at talkback@freedomfiends.com if you want to advertise on 19 radio stations for $200 a month, 8 times a month. And we got movies, we got all sorts of stuff, but we're just spreading liberty. We barely make any money at this, man. I made 42 cents an hour
last year. Not
a
year.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we take Bitcoin. And how beautiful is that?
Because
the people who have Bitcoins are usually way cooler than people who don't have any Bitcoins. And they probably have cooler businesses or cooler ads that we can have on our show. So yeah, man, if you've got some kind of cool idea and you're in the Bitcoin economy, drop us a line at talkback@freedomfiends.com and we'll work something out.
I'm just running around the house, man. I can't even. Yeah, I'm all over the studio. So I watched this movie, TWA Flight 800. It's on Netflix. Go watch it. TWA Flight 800. It's about the TWA Flight 800 back in the 90s.
Really?
Yeah, it's this flight.
I wouldn't have got that from the title.
It was a flight going from New York to Paris that like blew up in the air on the way to France. Blew up in the air over Long Island like 10 minutes after it left New York City. And there were like 700 witnesses interviewed that night who saw it, who saw, they say they saw a missile hit this plane and blow it out of the sky.
They described a streak of light ascending, according to Wikipedia.
And the FBI, like, interviewed these 800 witnesses and then told them all, you didn't see that. Don't say that, according to this movie. And, like, the NTSB, who are kind of like the neutral good guys of the government, if there is anything. They're the people that go examine, you know, flight explosions and things, National Transportation and Safety Board. And they were like three guys from the NTSB interviewed in here who were like patriotic. I love my country. I'm doing my service. I love my job. I used to be in the Air Force. I'm a scientist for the government, who were like, we got blocked out of this. The FBI was like moving evidence around and hiding stuff, and they didn't let us interview anybody. And we've never seen an investigation like that. And it makes me like ashamed to be an American. Man, these are like, it's bizarre. Like, these people, just what happened to them made them not love their country or at least question it.
Well, yeah, and there's really funny, like, not ha-ha funny, but, like, smelly fish funny. Like, 80 FBI agents conducted interviews, but no verbatim records were produced.
Yeah.
We'll be back with more in just a little bit after this trip to the Mars.
Flirt. Yeah.
We're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
Freedom Fiends, listening to Death Clock here in Gothenburg, Nebraska, in the Wormabago, driving around the country solving mysteries with my wife.
Of your wife? Mysteries of your wife. That's what you're solving?
I think I've solved all the mysteries of my wife after this long of marriage, which is a good thing.
How long of marriage?
Man.
5 years?
I don't know. 8 years, man. Seven years of marriage, 8 years together. We lived in sin. It wasn't sin, man. We were like married from the third date. We really were. We were just you're the one, man. I'm sick of catting around and you're the one.
Catting around.
Yeah, it's me.
Fair enough.
Blurt. So
we're gonna drop the TWA Flight 800, no pun intended, for now.
Go watch the movie. We don't have nothing. We got T, but you go watch the movie TWA, man.
Okay.
Flight 800 on Netflix. It's your homework. We'll discuss it next weekend.
Yeah. I see. Okay. There you go. Your homework.
So the media lies. That's the whole topic today. We once had an episode called Turn Off the Terror Vision, Turn on the Fiends, because we were talking about how the TV just wants to stimulate your limbic system and poke you into horror so you'll buy more toothpaste and pimple cream. But yeah, man, and the media lies, and it's not just the terror, it's just the lies, even the lies that don't stimulate your limbic system.
Yeah. So, and I think a lot of it is the media believes the lies. Well, it's not that they're telling you lies maliciously.
You were asking me, like, do these people believe all this stuff they say about Obama and about the government? And I'm like, I think they believe it and they're true believers, except when the facts don't fit their truth, and then they lie, because they lie to themselves.
They lie to themselves. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's important. And I think it's important that the reason I think that is because you can't ascend to certain heights unless you buy into their narratives, their premises, because that's where all the evil is, right? It's in the premises. Like the premise that Iran already has a nuclear weapons program and is actively seeking getting a bomb, or the premise that we had nothing but good intentions in Iraq and we just wanted to plant democracy, as people were saying last week about what Fallujah was. These premises that the state is good and the state is benevolent and the cops are your protectors, unless you buy into those and craft all of your stories around those basic premises or from that premise up, then you're not allowed, and you get pushback.
You were in mainstream media. You know this. You were an ABC news reporter on television in Wyoming and Washington State, covering the whole state of Wyoming and most of half of Washington.
Half.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Yeah, and, you know, if you don't – if you don't tell the stories the news directors want to hear, and this I found this way more in Washington State than I did in Wyoming, because in Wyoming I was kind of out on my own. I had a lot more freedom. I didn't have anybody reading my stories. I had a news director, but he had a lot of trust in me and sort of let me pursue the stories I thought were going to be good. Plus, in Wyoming, people are kind of, I hate to use the cliche, rugged individualist, but people didn't cotton too much to love of the state.
Cotton.
And so I could get away with more as far as those kind of stories.
We use the word state, the state. It means the government. And you know, the state Israel, the official name of Israel is the state of Israel.
The
and
state
you know,
of Israel.
If you're one of these people who parrots the thing of America's not a democracy, it's a republic, like that makes a difference. You know what? The word republic is in the official names of both Iran and Iraq and North Korea. They all have republic in their name.
They sure do.
It's there in their name.
And they all have constitutions.
Yeah, and you know what? What they don't tell you on the news when they're talking about how great Israel is. Now, we love the Jews. I got to say, we love the Jews. We don't love the state of Israel. And
well,
in fact,
we don't collectivize people. So yeah, we love Jews that are lovable.
I love a lot of Jews, man. I love a lot of Jews. Okay. My baby daughter back in the day my child, she was Jewish. My daughter was Jewish. I miscongregated. What's it called? Where you mix? I don't know. That's a term that like racists use. But I did that, and you know, I'm fine with it. And I like a lot of people who are Jewish. Most of our libertarian heroes, like Mises and Ayn Rand, and all those people, they were Jewish by lineage, at least. So we got no problem with the Jews, but we got a problem with the state of Israel, and it's because it's because
of the state part.
Because it basically like drives American military policy. You know, if you join the U.S. Army and you're over there in Schweinfurt, you're probably basically fighting for Israel. Now, the thing they don't tell on the mainstream media is the fact that Israel, you know, everyone says it like, oh, Israel's America's best friend. You don't realize 33 nations do not recognize the state of Israel and most of them will not let them in the country if you have an Israeli passport.
Not only that about the best friend thing, but there's no formal treaty. There's no formal internationally recognized treaty. And do you know why? Because then you'd have to have internationally recognized borders.
Yeah.
And Israel doesn't want to put limits on their borders. They want a lot of people, the right-wing government people want a greater Israel.
They want a Zionist worldwide caliphate.
Yeah. We're gonna get kicked off radio for that.
I mean, most people think that like, you know, Iran is this like illegitimate country that's just horrible. They are horrible. They're a horrible country. They're horrible to their people.
The government is.
The government is.
People
are just people, man. But you know how many countries do not recognize North Korea?
According to Wikipedia, something like 33.
No, one. North Korea? The only country that doesn't recognize it is South Korea. Everybody else recognizes that as a country.
I thought you said Israel.
No,
you mean
Israel, 33 countries. Most of the Middle East, most of their neighbors that they like pushed out and bullied and murdered to build that little piece of sand over there. Yeah.
This is interesting if you look at the map too, because you look at the ones in the immediate vicinity, and Jordan and Egypt, which are the closest countries, you know, bordering Israel, they are not on the list of countries who do not recognize Israel. So they do recognize, but both of those are American-backed dictatorships. Egypt flirted with revolution for a while, but now it looks like they just passed a constitution that the military put out there, and so it's basically back to its old roots, just without one main evil dictator figurehead. Iran is interesting too, because it's on the list of countries that rescinded their recognition of Israel. And Iran was actually, if you read the wiki page, they were one of the first nations to recognize Israel as the de jure state, or what became the state of Israel, as the de jure authority in the region.
It's de jure. It's French, man.
De jure. And I was trying to think of that. I was like, well, yeah, that's because it was the Shah back then. But no, it wasn't. It was 1948. So I don't know if that was before Mossadegh's election or what happened. But it was interesting to me that Israel and America were two of the first countries to recognize Israel, and were sort of hand in hand.
Actually, Russia was the first country to recognize Israel, and America didn't recognize Israel until they had an election. Like, you got to have some democracy before we'll recognize you, like a year later. So we want to talk about Nobel Peace Prize laureates who are murderers, which is another way that the media lies to you. The world lies to you. Nobel Peace Prizes. People were upset when Obama got one. You know, the thing was, like, he didn't deserve one yet because he hadn't murdered anybody yet. He hadn't murdered that American teenager with a drone. He hadn't murdered all those innocent bystanders at wedding parties with you know, some guy out of 100 people who, like, America doesn't like because he said he doesn't like America being over there shooting his neighbors. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so we went through the list a little bit and found some people who did get to kill a lot of people before they got
Menachem Begin.
Yeah, and also one of the first ones, and I don't know all these people, maybe a lot more were warmongers than I know about, but Teddy Roosevelt in 1906
Rough Riders.
Was one of the earliest Nobel Peace Prize winners for his successful mediation to the end of the Russo-Japanese War. But Teddy Roosevelt was a big warmonger and was a big proponent for the Spanish-American War and really wanted to get his hands bloody himself. You know, he's kind of different from what you think of as
Of this like
he was a hawk.
Yeah, you know, people don't know what the word chicken hawk means. Chicken hawk is actually a politician that wants to send people to war who did not himself serve. Do you know that?
Yeah,
it doesn't
just
mean a hawk is anybody who wants to murder people with their army. But
a chicken hawk is somebody who would never, who would be scared. They'd be chicken. Go over there
like most of the right wingers, like all of the people, like Ted Nugent, he was a draft dodger. He's a chicken hawk. He loves murdering brown people.
He dodged
people.
The draft in a horrible way, and I'm not a fan of the draft. Yeah. But it's pretty.
Well, he bragged about
of him.
Yeah, he bragged about having, let's just say, less than good hygiene for about a month before his physical.
Yeah.
Including basic functions not being met. So, yeah, Bill O'Reilly was a draft dodger. Who else? Wasn't Rush Limbaugh? I heard something about, like, he got out with some kind of deferment or something.
Yeah,
there's a whole bunch of those right-winger warmongers, kill them all and let God kill. The people that want to bomb the Middle East back to the Stone Age, except for Israel, all those right-wingers, a lot of them got out of the draft for some reason or another.
Was Mitt Romney ever in the military?
No, he got out on a Mormon priesthood, you know, where you're going on a
missionary. He was doing a mission.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, because I bring that up because we had that funny, hilarious image of him that we talked about, I don't know, a year and a half ago or something.
Protesting for the war.
He was protesting for the Vietnam War against draft dodgers. Of course, not going himself. So, yeah, that's another great example of being a chicken hawk. But no, Teddy thought war was glorious. Teddy Roosevelt did.
Oh, talk about the speech, man. It's so disgusting.
Yeah, he gave a speech to a women's group, and the gist of it was that their duty to American national greatness was to have sons that could be used in war and would give their lives up for their country. He wanted these women's sons to die for him, for his feeling of the glory of the United States nation.
That's exactly what Hitler did. Hitler said that women's duty to the state was to produce many Aryan babies to become soldiers. Ugh. I mean, think about it. Like, you know, Hitler said it, and it's horrible, and it was horrible. But, you know, you people that you like because they had a cool mustache and funny glasses and posed with a dead bear at some point, you know, like Teddy Roosevelt.
Yeah, well, it's a commie thing in general, isn't it? Wasn't that the thing in Romania? Was they outlawed abortion because every baby born could be a member of the party, could be somebody to strengthen the national greatness?
And Hitler outlawed. Hitler went after smoking. He was the first anti-smoking campaigner because he said that your body belongs to the German state and you have to keep it pure and strong. Yeah. Horrible people, man. So Menachem Begin, he was a member of a Zionist militia, which sounds like some conspiracy theory, but actually, like, that's what it was called.
It's on the wiki.
He was the head of the Irgun, which they targeted the British in Palestine, and he was considered a terrorist by Britain. You know who should probably win a Nobel Peace Prize is Peter King, Republican congressman, gun grabber, New Yorker. Peter King, because he backed the IRA, and they're considered terrorists by the Brits. So basically, I guess if you're a politician,
you get a peace prize.
You get a peace prize,
I mean, not that the I don't know. The Brits probably didn't have any place deciding the borders of the Middle East anyway, but that doesn't stop the fact that he was targeting British people in what they called Mandatory Palestine at the
time.
What
a name.
Which sounds hilarious. I guess it was because it was the British mandate that sort of set
mandatory
up those borders
Palestine.
And was set to expire. But yeah, that's kind of hilarious. Mandatory Palestine.
Yeah. Menachem Begin. You didn't know how to pronounce Menachem Begin, but I know him because I'm almost 50 and I heard that word on the news a lot when I was a kid. Yeah, he was
Oh, and it's in that Pink Floyd song that you like.
Yeah, Begin. Yeah.
About the old folks home for the
tyrants and kings. Yeah, maybe we'll play that at some point. Yeah, like send them all away where they can wear their medals and appear to themselves on closed circuit TV to make sure they're still real. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. He also authorized the bombing of Iraq, the Osirak nuclear plant in Iraq.
But why should we care? What else is he known for?
And the invasion of Lebanon in 1982.
He was the prime minister of the State of Israel.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So yeah, I thought that followed. But yeah, that's why he could authorize those things. And you know, some of the bombing in Lebanon, people described as being similar to the Allies bombing Dresden in World War II. That's kind of how horrific it got. And we're going to talk a little bit more about this, and we'll even get to Ariel Sharon and how the media lies to you about him and a lot of other things when we return from the market on The Freedom Fiends.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. Federal Reserve notes only have value because of a collective hallucination, whereas gold and silver are real, and so is their value. Gold and silver predate government-printed funny money, and they will undoubtedly outlive government-printed funny money. Get some gold and silver into your hands from Midas Resources by going to freedomfiends.com right now and clicking on the Midas Resources banner over on the right. Or go to gold.freedomfiends.com. That's gold.freedomfiends.com.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges start a conversation with your neighbor or your doctor or your family or your school. Now there's teachers and lawyers and business executives, and they all wear shiny badges and they all reject the state. Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges show the world that you reject coercion and aggression and oppression by the state. Shinybadges.com.
Yeah! Michael Dean, no relation to Howard Dean, thank goodness.
All right, it's the Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. I'm Nima Vidati. We've got Michael W. Dean out there in the Winnebago. I'm here in the Texas Hill Country, just doing my thing. And the theme today, or at least one of the broader themes we have, is that the media are liars. And sometimes we think that they just believe lies and they tell you lies because they think they're the truth.
They lie all the time.
And sometimes we think they lie on purpose just because they're mean, horrible people. So I don't know. I don't know what the breakdown is on which people are which. But I do know that I have an example here of one of the ways they lie to you. And that's kind of how they expressed, or at least how Peter Hart says in Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. He has a headline called "How the Big Papers Remembered Ariel Sharon."
Who's Ariel Sharon? You got to say who these
Ariel
people are.
Ariel Sharon.
Another prime minister, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. I think he was.
And we're
Israeli
not just picking on Israel. We're not just picking on Israel. We're going to get around to Anderson Cooper here pretty soon.
We will.
The media lies.
Yeah, and we picked on Iran at the beginning of the show, so
there you go. Yeah,
we're fair and balanced.
Anybody who says that we're anti-Zionist, anybody says that, hey, we picked on Iran too. We go after all the states and all the republics. Yeah.
So people called him the bulldozer, and when they the Washington Post decided to write an obit, they kind of whitewashed, and they used these funny Orwellian terms. Like, instead of calling him brutal, which he was, because if you read the best, I think, obituary out there for him is Max Blumenthal, who's a really great writer on Israeli stuff. And he's actually a Jew himself, so you can't call him an anti-Semite. And one of the things, the horrible things, is this, I think it's called Sabra and Chantilly Massacre. I'm probably mispronouncing that or got my S's wrong or something. But it was this thing where, as a vindictive thing, Ariel Sharon let a group of, I think they're called Phalangist Christians or some kind of weird PH name Christians, basically walk into this town, the Israeli Standard Guard all around it, and they let this Christian group pretty much massacre a whole bunch of women and children, sort of as a retaliatory thing. And the way Washington Post sort of whitewashed these kinds of things is they called them brutally effective tactics.
Ugh.
So not that they're brutal, not that they're horrible and brutal, just that they're brutally effective.
Shock
now, what kind of
and
buzzword
awe.
Silliness
it's,
is
it's
that?
Like,
yeah,
shock
like
and
shock
awe.
And awe.
Yeah.
And because he withdrew or stopped, I guess, some settlement things near the end of his power there, they said that he was hoping for peace and on the cutting edge of the peace movement, which is really no such thing. Some people say that that was sort of a military tactic so that they could bomb people in Gaza more, you know, stop building settlements there so that we can actually just bomb the heck out of it. So a lot of silliness, a lot of lies in the media here to cover for somebody who, why would you want to cover for him? I kind of don't understand why this love of somebody who's a bloodthirsty monster by any kind of objective point of view.
Yeah. And we weren't picking on the Iranian people. We were picking on the Iranian state. We don't pick on any people except individuals who want to, like, throw us in cages and drone us for free speech like Obama does and like Romney would have if he'd been president.
Exactly.
We like the Iranian people. We don't collectivize.
We pick on people who call the shots that get other people killed.
Yeah.
We pick on people who like to collectively punish whole groups of people.
I was traveling Europe in 2004, and like people yelled at me for being American. Like the guy traveling on the train with the backpack is the one dropping missiles in Iraq, you know? And
like
Britain, and especially in Britain, like Britain didn't have blood on its hands in that too.
Yeah, great point. Great point. But yeah, how silly of it for some people to complain about you, the American tourist. You didn't do anything. At least they don't know. They're it's prejudice, man. They're assuming that you're some kind of baby killer just because you're an American. That's not true at all, man.
And
that's
we think the Iranian government are big dumb doo-doo heads who, you know, I mean they hate Obama and they call it the Obama regime and we like that. But, you know, the government are stupid and they lie all the time. But, you know, we don't hate the people. Your daughter's one quarter Iranian, isn't she?
Yeah. Well, hey, that's their job, right? I mean, that's why we hate the government of all of the nation states, is because it's their job to lie and steal and murder. That's what they're there for. They're called the monopoly of violence. They're there to do all of those horrible things that nobody would pay to have done in a free society.
We'll be back with more of the Freedom Fiends, the show where one host's daughter is one quarter Iranian and the other host's daughter is one quarter Jewish. We'll be back talking about the world stage and what's wrong with it and why we're right and most of the politicians, all of the politicians except Ron Paul, were wrong. And he's less wrong now that he's not a politician, so we like him. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about medical marijuana in hour two and why the government hates it, but they're going to use it for their power to spread their baby-killing agenda of getting more Democrats democratically elected.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support only a phone call away 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
OKKK, it's the Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. I am Nima Vidati out here in the Texas Hill Country. We've got Michael W. Dean out there, and I think he's in Nebraska rolling around in the Winnebago. How's it going, Mr. Dean?
Yeah, I'm in, it's named after somewhere in Sweden, and it's where my dear departed mother grew up. It's a little town. I wanted to see it. It's called, what did I say it's called? It's got a Swedish name. Yeah, Gothenburg, Nebraska, which is interesting because there's a type of black metal called Gothenburg black metal, which was like the original from Sweden. And you said KKK. You meant to say OKKK. It wasn't a KKK.
Man,
are we trying to get on the SPLC list today? Because
I think we are.
I don't want to be lumped in with race haters. Those people are stupid, man. They should be state haters. I want to be on their state haters list because all governments are immoral and stupid and exist by murdering people and threatening to murder them. And the NSA, okay, we want to give out the phone number in case the NSA wants to call in or anybody wants to call in. It's 1-855-660-4261. And that's if you're listening live. Some places were delayed, but if you're listening live, which would be about Central Time noon. No, 1. Central Time 1 right now. I'm in
107 Central Time.
Yeah.
You got
so, it. Yeah, the number would be 1-855-660-4261. We want to talk about the NSA and how they just lie, man, because they are the shadow government running America. It's not some cabal of like owl blood drinking people. But, you know, I think that there is just so much insanity going on that's coming out about how governments are that they're done. You know, cops are killing people.
They're killing.
I mean, if there are good cops, how come there may be good cops, but if there were more good cops like the cops all say they are, they would be just bashing the bad cops, like the ones they would be out everywhere saying, man, we don't like it when they beat homeless people to death and it's on film and they were unarmed and they did nothing, like with Kelly Thomas in Orange
County.
Exactly.
Yeah. I believe there are good cops when the good cops arrest people who do those kinds of things.
Yeah, man.
When the good cops arrest the cops beating people to death.
When the good cops arrest the NSA. Yeah, man. The NSA, I mean, they're like, they gave this big press conference recently and said, we respect the Constitution of the United States. Yeah, but it comes out that, like, secretly, like, off the record, they're all saying, like, I would like to murder Edward Snowden with my bare hands without a trial. What part of the Constitution is that in, or the Bill of Rights, at least, man?
And describing it in detail, saying things like, well, it wouldn't be that hard to kill Snowden. He'd just get a poke. He'd feel a poke, get bumped into somebody somewhere in Moscow. He'd go and take a shower and
Is that a ricin pellet comment?
I guess.
It sounds like
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what they're saying. But yeah, this guy, Benny Johnson, wrote an article over at BuzzFeed. I guess the issue I take with it is all the sources are anonymous, but I guess nobody would really go on record as saying this.
Yeah.
Other than didn't the head of the NSA laughingly joke about putting it on the kill list? Michael Hayden, jokingly talked about how he'd like to put Ed Snowden on the, quote, kill list.
Obama joked about, like, droning the Jonas Brothers if they looked at his daughters approvingly. That guy's sick, man. That guy is a sick puppy.
Yeah, but here's the thing about all the NSA people saying how much they want to kill Ed Snowden without a trial. They just want him hung and how much they hate him. People at the Pentagon, gone to lots of gov goons, as we like to call them, is Tech Dirt has this really great opinion piece where they say, hey man, that proves that the NSA can't be trusted to follow the Constitution or do anything moral. If they're saying they want to kill somebody without a trial, these are the people who are saying, trust us to have all your information. It'll be okay.
They have hot and heavy fantasies. They have hot and heavy fantasies and get like flushed in their face thinking about destroying an American without a trial.
Yeah.
They do.
And those are the people saying, trust us to have every piece of dirt on everybody.
On everybody.
Just trust us. Yeah, we're not going to misuse it.
We're not
going to
do anything bad with it.
We would never do that.
We won't sell it to the lowest bidder, highest bidder. We won't give it to the next president who's worse than Hitler. Yeah.
Yeah. We won't give it all to Israel. Like, oh, wait. We already do that.
Yeah. They do that. They actually do that, too.
And they do that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. A country
who else?
That was.
You know, that's the thing.
A country that was carved out by genocide. Like, basically, you know, Israel was formed by America, Russia, and the UK saying, all right, let's see. We'll throw a dart at a map over tea. Okay, there's not we don't like these people here in Palestine. We'll just murder them and use bulldozers and remove them from their home. You know, I actually saw this movie last night. It's a great movie. It's called Black Sunday. It's a 1977 film where, like, some terrorists try to blow up the Super Bowl and get stopped by brave Americans. Now, the thing is, this movie never would get made now because for the it's 2 hours and 20 minutes long, and for 2 hours and 19 minutes of it, it looks like the terrorists are going to succeed, and then for the last minute, the Americans save it. So, but the other thing is about this movie is it actually, like, at the beginning, it has Palestinians giving their demands, and they're like, they sound so cogent. Like, they would never make the terrorists sound, the freedom fighters from somewhere else sound so cogent, because they're like, you know, we are from Palestine. Picture if someone came over to America and took everyone out of Alabama and Georgia and New York State and made them leave and moved in a bunch of foreigners, mm-hmm. how would you feel? That was at mm-hmm. the beginning of the movie. That was their list of demands. And it was like, yeah. it wasn't like we want to destroy you. It was like, we want to be friends with you and come to a reasonable, you know, basically they were saying, we want peace in the Middle East. Work with us yeah. or else, you know, like America and all other nations do all over the world as states. Right. Saying, work with us or we'll give you democracy in the form of bombs.
Just get rid of the monopoly of violence. Stop having a state
yeah.
in that area that says, well, we'll kill these people. We'll take these people's homes away. We'll throw these people in jail. These people aren't allowed to ride the bus, which does happen in Israel.
Yeah.
Let's just not let a state decide all those things. Let's just have everybody trade and be free and sell things to each other. Because, hey, man, if you let the Palestinian Arabs buy your cell phone services and your groceries, they're going to give you money. If you let them work at your shops, they're going to work there. And then everybody's happy. It's win-win situations. Why are you guys fighting over who gets to control the turret that is the monopoly of the state? Just ignore the turret. Just hang out around the side and barbecue kebabs, man.
And what's with all the right wingers who like back this Israel, you know, kind of terror state, but also get elected by saying, I love the free market. No, they don't love the free market. You just described the free market. So we want to talk about the free market for cannabis, which is being sort of legalized in a bunch of states. And there's actually like six states that are voting coming up soon on legalizing at least medical marijuana. So there was this CNN thing about the cannabis pot tours for old ladies, which is really sweet. Yeah. It was basically like, you know, they have these limo things, stretch limo. It's, I don't know if it's for old ladies, but it was all old people who were like 70 or more, which, you know, I'm not saying anything about, I love old people, man, but it's like, it's these old, I love these old ladies getting in this stretch limo and paying for, like, you know, the wine tour of cannabis dispensaries yeah. and then stopping for lunch for tacos. And it's like, man, this is so cool. And it's cool because they probably have a younger one for like the blingy people who are like the wiggas and like, yo, man, let's listen to some yeah. hip hop and go get some
pot. They have the YOLO herb tour.
Yeah. But this is like the old lady tour, and CNN sent some younger lady on the tour, and she actually got a contact high from being yeah,
well,
in
she
the
says
limo.
A contact high yeah. at least.
And she was just laughing her butt off, and Anderson Cooper was making fun of her for it. And I'm trying to get to the point here where I can play this, but it's a long clip. So, but Anderson Cooper, man, that guy is pretty square to be making fun of somebody for doing something that doesn't hurt anybody, because Anderson Cooper's mother is a filthy, filthy lady who writes filthy, filthy books. Gloria Vanderbilt, she writes filthy books, man. They're dirty books for old ladies. She writes like memoirs and dirty novels, man. Gloria Vanderbilt.
You yeah, and here's the thing. Out. We don't care, because if you want to write books to yeah. and sell them
if
to somebody
write
who wants
dirty
to read
books
them,
for old ladies, that's cool. If you want to sell pot to
man.
Old ladies, that's cool too,
yeah,
man. Old ladies
exactly.
need love too, and they need dirty books and they need pot. But Anderson Cooper,
or some of them want those things
yeah,
at least, and
they
should be able
it.
To
yeah.
buy them. But yeah, the Anderson Cooper thing, I think the reason we decided to bring that up is because it just goes to show you how out of touch either the mainstream media acts or is. Because it kind of boggled my mind. How alien the concept of smoking a joint was to Anderson Cooper
I know.
When he's
Here,
talking
listen.
To the reporter at the end.
Cannons? As big as small cannons?
They are so big. When she would, when Barbara whipped it out to light it up, nobody it wanted out. To light it. Everybody was afraid to touch it because it was so big. Nobody had seen such a big joint before. So, but Barbara at 72 had no problem just lighting it up and getting everybody involved, and they had a great time.
How much longer are you going to be there for, Randy? You moving there? Or?
I think I need to come home. I think I need to come home.
I think you.
I'm coming
you need
home
to come
tomorrow.
Back to the East Coast.
Ew.
Yeah, come back to the East Coast.
Do you think they'll know?
Right, thanks very much.
Okay. Ew, like, you're high. You got to get out of the Mountain West where there's more freedom and get back to the East Coast. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a square.
And before that, too, he was just kind of, he was so judgmental, like in his look and his demeanor. It doesn't come across 100% there in just the audio, but you had to kind of look at Anderson Cooper, too. And I'm just thinking, come on, Anderson Cooper. You know, you go to parties and snort coke off of.
Oh, you don't know that. Backs. You can't say that. He doesn't do
that.
You
okay.
can't say
he
that.
He doesn't do that. But come on. Don't you think Anderson Cooper has partied a little bit in his life?
I don't know, man. He's probably like rebelling against his libertine mother because Gloria Vanderbilt's filthy. She wrote a book called Obsession and Erotic Tale in 2009 when she was, she's 89, and in 2009 she wrote an erotic novel. Man, talk about old ladies need love too, man, I guess.
So, go,
Gloria Vanderbilt, and you
the
better.
Love never dies.
I think you should spank your son, Anderson Cooper. I think you should put him over your knee. You know, spare the rod and spoil the tool of the state pundit, man. Spank that boy. Spank him.
So either the media lies or it believes lies. Either Anderson Cooper is playing innocent, like, I don't know what a marijuana stick is. You smoke it like a cigarette? How does that work?
I don't actually believe in spanking children. I believe it exists, but I don't believe it's a good thing. I think you're just spreading aggression. But, you know, I think I'd make exceptions after, like, the 900th trimester. I think after you're 60, like Anderson Cooper, if you're still a square, you should get spanked by your 89-year-old mother who writes dirty novels.
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, well, yeah, I had I have a personal story from when I worked in the media. There was this newish reporter, and she played the same kind of dumb girl routine about pot that Anderson Cooper did just there in a news meeting. We had some medical marijuana news or something where I lived in Washington State in our news market there, and she said, "Hey, you know what? I think I even know somebody who might smoke it." And like she wanted there to be like a dun 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 after she said that, or like for us to go, "Really? What kind of seedy underbelly things are you into? What kind of scary sources do you have?"
Yeah,
like, as if, you know, we're all young kids right out of college. As if we didn't all go to frat parties and see people and come into contact with that on a regular basis. No, you got to play dumb like you're some dare poster if you want to be in the polite society that is mainstream media.
Yeah, and Brian Williams, who's a respected journalist, totally lies, just lies in that TWA Flight 800 documentary. At least they say he's lying, because he's saying, well, the official report said that it was not taken out by a missile. And that's the theory, is that like it was taken down by a missile, either from the U.S. military or a terrorist, and the U.S. just covered it up. But he lies about it, apparently, because the NTSB guys who had, you know, they just, we're going to be back with more, and you can call in on the Freedom Feeds. We're stacking up phone callers here. Yep. All right. We're going to get to Ramon, and we're going to get to your other calls when we get back. All right. On the Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Inoculation from indoctrination. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Do you want to raise your children outside of the government indoctrination camps that are today's public schools? Check out the Ron Paul Curriculum link over on the right of freedomfiends.com. The Ron Paul Curriculum is a liberty-based K-12 homeschool course. It covers history, liberty, geography, math, science, and free market economics. Kindergarten through fifth grade are free. Then it's only $250 per family per year. Click on the Ron Paul Curriculum link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations, and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Holla. Holla, holla, holla.
Holla back on the Freedom Fiends Live.
I ain't your holla back girl.
You ain't my holla back girl?
No.
All right, fair enough. But this is Nima Vidati for the Freedom Fiends Live. I'm here in the hill country of Central
Texas. You hillbilly.
Ah, yes, I'm a hillbilly. We like to go. We took our little daughter, Lily, out walking in the hills the other day, trying to show her the beauty
she
that is.
She didn't care.
She was asleep, man.
She didn't care.
She was asleep the whole time. Did not care at all. She enjoyed the bumpiness of the hike because it bounced her to sleep. But yeah, man, how's it going, Mr. Dean?
I'm in Gothenburg, Nebraska today in the Wormabago, which is our mobile command unit and broadcast studio. We bought it from the Rolling Stones. It's the old Rolling Stones mobile studio. Yeah, I have a 24-track tape unit that I'm recording the show on today. Yeah.
Wow.
Two inch tape. Reel to reel, man.
Two inch tape. Nice. All right. There you go.
Then I just digitize
the call in
it
number.
Later.
If you want to call and tell us where you're at and what it's like and what your little daughter's like, call 1-855-660-4261. Once again, that's 1-855-660-4261. I think we've got Ramon in Miami on the line with us. Are you there, Ramon?
Yes, sir. What's going on, fellas?
What's up, brother? What can we do for you today?
Well, I was actually calling about the NSA, the National Snooping Agency. since you're talking about daughters, I guess I'll bring up mine because she's always on my mind. She's about a year and a half, unvaccinated, nice. Very happy and healthy, you know, just trying to grow up to be a good member of society. That's just my plans for her. Try to give her the best future, you know. That's why we're trying to fight things like the NSA. So she has the right to privacy, man.
Yeah. That's I don't know. They say that right now the generation that's growing up will never know what privacy is. What are you going to do to prevent that and give her some privacy other than talking about her on talk radio?
Well, we're going to do everything we've been doing. We're me and my group of people down here in Miami who I help, you know, wake up and giving them the path to you guys and other great shows that help them realize what's going on. You know, we're protesters. We're activists. You know, we're active in the community. We're active with anything we're doing. We're trying to bring the message of liberty and freedom. That's why I love you guys so, because Freedom Fiends is something everybody down here can relate to, yo. You know, like, it's like everybody's a fiend for something. You know, you're either a fiend for money, your love, or whatever it is. Somebody's out there crazy about it. And that's why I love you guys so. I tell you that every time I call in. But, yeah, we're trying to do everything in our power. You know, there's a lot of libertarian candidates trying to get, you know, local seats down here in Florida. We're trying to support them because obviously the left-right paradigm candidates are all spewing the same stuff, the Obamacare nonsense, the you know, the National Defense Authorization Act, and all these type of, you know, invasive policies that, you know, all us freedom fiends and liberty lovers just aren't about.
Awesome, man. Yeah, Florida's a weird, cool place. I've been there. My brother lives in Fort Lauderdale. We're actually on the radio, finally, in Florida, but it's in Panama City and Tallahassee. You're not near there. You're listening on the radio in Miami. I mean, on the internet in Miami.
Yeah.
Yeah. We want to get on more stations there. Florida's a weird melting pot, man. You ever watch that show 30 Rock?
Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah, there's one where, like, Florida becomes the deciding vote in who becomes president. It all comes down to Jenna Maroney because she can influence her fans in northern Florida, which is where we're on the radio now. She just tweets and decides who's president, I guess, or something. That's scary.
That's kind of Yeah, that's kind of eerie to back when Bush was trying to get elected and his brother mysteriously, supposedly, lost some votes down here in Florida and they had to do a recount. But I don't know, maybe that's just my tinfoil hat, you know? Maybe it's just, you know, I'm remembering wrong.
A lot of the world thought that, maybe not so much in America, but that was the thing in Europe everyone was talking about. Europe couldn't believe that either. They were like, man, America can't even do a Democratic election. But, you know, can they anyway? I mean, how many of them are actually democratically elected? And does it matter anymore, man? When you got a choice of, like, Obama versus Romney, and next election it's probably going to be Hillary versus Christie or something horrible. It's basically like, do you want to be kicked in the groin or punched in the face? Here, you can you decide.
Yeah, don't forget about Jeb Bush, man. There's always, for some reason, there's always a Bush in every election trying to, you know, sneak his way through the back door. A lot of people don't know. I don't see how they missed this. I don't see how they missed the fact that Obama is related to Bush. So I consider him a Bush.
There's always a Bush in the woodpile, man. You ever watch Death Clock or Metalocalypse, that show?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You ever see the one where Nathan Explosion becomes the governor of Florida and, like, gives away, prints $666 bills and gives them away and crashes the economy and it ends up with anarchy and everybody shooting everyone in the street. And then it becomes, like, what is it? Like, the hurricane scrambles the death dealer, destroys the state. And in the end, they're sitting there in the rubble and two Floridians say, best darn governor Florida ever had. All right, Ramon, thanks for calling in, brother, man. We like hearing from you down there in Florida. Worms. Say worms. He's gone. We'll be back with more, man, on the Freedom Fiends. When we get back from the market. Yeah!
We're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
Yeah. Hey, Nima Vidati on The Freedom Fiends. This is Michael Dean on The Freedom Fiends.
Hi, Michael Dean.
Gothenburg, Nebraska.
Gothenburg.
Today. That's where I am today. Gothenburg, Nebraska. Yeah.
Excellent. Glad to hear it. And we've got a special guest who decided to call because...
No, I want to say something, man. No? I want to say something.
All right, go for it.
When we build the cuss dump here. Not that this guy would ever cuss because he's a good guy. Good guys cuss too, though, but not on the radio. So, you know how you know... Nima, you know how you know the government's a gang?
Because they steal from people and kick in doors?
Well, yeah. Also, we were talking about that thing about, like, the NSA people allegedly saying that they want to, like, you know, get all hot and bothered and be able to murder Edward Snowden without a trial. Maybe they said that, maybe they didn't. That we have a source on that. But you know what? I've heard politicians say that. I've heard senators say that. Peter King said that, basically. So, like, you know.
Rand Paul said Snowden should be in a jail cell.
Yeah, and he's supposed to be one of the good ones. He's not. He's not. He is not his dad, man. But you know what? Yeah, his dad likes him. And you know what his dad said about it, too, was that his dad actually likes Snowden. But you know how you know the government's a gang? Because they can say things like they want to kill people and the people should be killed without a trial. If you even suggested that about any member of the government, you would get your door kicked in. They'd take away all your guns. They'd put you on a watch list. Oh, speaking of guns and kicking in doors and watch lists, Adam Kokesh, political prisoner, is out of jail and kind of free and clear, man. He's on probation and time served, and he has to register as a gun felon or something, which I don't know. Does that mean like when he moves, his neighbors are going to get a postcard that says he's a gun user? I don't know, but he can't have guns for a while, but he's not going to prison. And he, I guess he basically kind of got away with standing in DC with a loaded shotgun.
Huh.
Good for
what
him.
What about the drug charges? Weren't they dismiss those? Weren't they going to get him on
know.
Felony possession of mushrooms or some silly thing?
Fungus. Felony possession of fungus. I don't know, man. If God made something, how can it be illegal, man? How can a plant
because
or a fungus be illegal?
Because the state is the opposite of nature
of God.
And or
yeah.
God.
They yeah. denature alcohol. They denature nature. Society. Yeah, so we got a caller here. Let's take this caller. We got someone named Ben Stone, the bad Quaker.
Ben.
Are you there, Ben?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, Ben.
Yeah.
You got a. You say you got a podcast called The Bad Quaker, badquaker.com. People should go check it out. What do you got to tell us here today, Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker?
Well, I was inspired to give you a call when I heard you say that Brian Williams was lying.
You're going
to
whistleblow. Are you an insider? You're an insider whistleblower about TWA Flight 800, you said.
Don't get Ben's door kicked in.
Ben's in his Warmabago, man. They can't find him. He's traveling around the country solving mysteries with his wife. So what's your background with your knowledge of flight TWA 800 crashing?
At the time, well, I spent a lot of years in the aerospace industry and the defense industry. And TWA Flight 800 crashed on July 17th of 96, killing all 230 people. The NTSB took 4 years to release their aircraft accident report. And they did so on Wednesday, August 23rd of 2000. And I remember that day very distinctly because I was working in an area that we called the catacombs. This is a huge underground series of cubicles, of giant rooms filled with cubicles underneath a General Electric aircraft engine plant in Ohio. And I was working in the catacombs with lots of other engineers and scientists on that morning when the NTSB released that report. And they claimed that there was a fuel tank explosion caused by an electrical spark. And when that announcement went out, it was kind of like a giant collective gasp went through the catacombs. All these people who had spent careers working in the aerospace industry, dealing with specifically 747-100 planes, dealing specifically with Pratt Whitney engines that were on that plane, and the level of ridiculousness that NTSB, which are typically, you know, really maybe the most honest aspect of government is the NTSB, and to hear them stand up and give a false report like that just blew these engineers away. And it was a really weird atmosphere in the catacombs that day.
So you were there. You're not some conspiracy theorist saying, I saw something on the internet and they had blurry pictures with red arrows and that's proof. You were like there, man. You were at the next desk from the guys who were supposed to be investigating this, right?
There were NTSB guys all around in the catacombs, and I would say probably with every row of desks, maybe 15 to 20 desks per row, at least one of them was an NTSB guy. So, yeah, they were thick where we were.
Expand on this.
A lot of times they would actually bring wreckage to our plant there where we would do the disassembly of it and this kind of thing, and the sort of like the autopsy specifically of engines that had traumatic events like that. So, yeah, we have seen lots and lots of planes, lots of engines, lots of debris. We were very familiar with what it takes to bring down an airplane. You know, some of the people, especially you see this on the internet, and you see it with news people as well, back in the day when they were talking about this still, they would say, well, there was no puncture in the plane where a rocket hit it. Well, that indicates you don't know anything about how a rocket works. If you've ever gone hunting for a bird, let's say you're duck hunting or goose hunting or, you know, pheasant hunting or whatever, you don't shoot a rifle at a bird if you actually want to kill the bird. You shoot a shotgun at it because you splatter out a pattern of tiny little shot that take up a large area, and you hope that some of those will hit the bird in a vital area. And that's how a surface-to-air missile works. It goes up to the general area of where the plane is and then blows up and sends shrapnel through it. And, you know, according to the accounts, the plane was riddled through with shrapnel, even to the point of where there were human bones that punctured the body of the plane. Now, that couldn't have happened without a massive explosion, the kind of explosion that jet fuel just cannot produce. Jet fuel
actually, jet fuel cannot explode. It's basically kerosene. It'll do a rapid burn, but jet fuel will not explode. So if it won't explode, it can't produce supersonic shock waves that it would take to send a human bone through the wall of a plane. It doesn't happen. It's impossible. It's not within the realm of possibility.
So what was on everybody's mind there in the catacombs, or what you called it, after they had the collective gasp? Did people speculate as to why the NTSB would make this statement? Did people speculate as to what actually happened? I mean, was there heated discussions afterwards, or were people just afraid to speak?
There was a lot of discussions, and mostly it focused on not so much why would they do this, but how could they? It was such a shock to the belief system of these engineers and scientists that people that they were familiar with would have the capability of faking a report like that. Why really, oddly enough, didn't even come up. It was more like, how could they do this? How could they say it was that? How could you get away with something so obvious? The idea that the explosion took place inside the fuel tank from an electrical spark. Well, there's only one wire in there, and it runs on very extremely low millivoltage, so low that you could literally touch it to your tongue and you wouldn't be able to feel it. So the idea that could cause a spark that would ignite fuel, and jet fuel has to be above 100, I believe it's 140 degrees is its flash point. It has to be above 140 degrees before an igniter will even cause it to ignite. If it's below 140 degrees, even with ignition, it won't burn because it's essentially kerosene. So, you know, they were beside themselves, and we actually had these little wires, these little fuel indicator wires. And so they were actually ordering them from our storeroom to look at them and to see, because there was one, I can't remember who it was, but it was one of the major talking heads of the day that mentioned that the wire was probably dried out and cracked, and that's what allowed it to arc. So they were pulling used wires, because we had, within our storeroom, we didn't only have brand new parts. We had parts that had been on wing, as we called them, or in flight, for long periods of time. And all this information is you know, documented. So with each part, you know how much time it's been on wing, how much time it's been in testing. And so they were pulling these parts out of storage just to look at them. And they're laying around on engineers' desks, and there's engineers ganged around looking at, looking at schematics of 747 gas tanks. And it was really odd. We actually got almost no work done that week because of that event.
Wow. So what's your take then? If everybody was just concerned with the how, do you have any insight into the why, or what you think really happened, or do you not want to get into that?
I've asked myself a lot of times over the years, why would this happen and how could it take place? And, you know, it's not like something you might say, well, it's a false flag, it was done to blame the terrorists, or it was done. It doesn't fit any of those patterns whatsoever.
Because they didn't blame anybody. They called it an accident.
Yeah, exactly. And they tried very horribly to cover it up like it was just an accident. So why would they do this? And I can't come up with any logical explanation other than it was a horrible mistake to begin with. Somebody accidentally locked onto the plane and launched something, you know, and then there was a desperate attempt to cover it. I don't know that to be the fact, but that's the only conclusion I can come up with. Maybe even it wasn't American. Maybe there was a Soviet sub Russian or Chinese sub or whatever off the coast, and it accidentally launched, and they didn't want to, you know, have a war situation and that's just pure speculation on my part.
Wow, that's
mind-blowing. But there were like 800 people on the ground, just civilians, who said they saw a missile come up from the water and hit this plane. And they were interviewed.
You know, when I hear that.
And the movie says that they were, the movie TWA Flight 800, which is on Netflix, the movie says that the FBI, you know, they interviewed people who were interviewed by the FBI who said the FBI came and interviewed them. And when they said they saw a missile, the FBI like bullied them and said, no, you didn't see that. You're not going to say that ever.
I have two thoughts on that. One is something Adolf Hitler talked about in Mein Kampf. He says that if you tell the big lie, tell it so colossal that no one would ever suspect you of lying, then you just stick with it. And that's what Hitler talked about, the big lie.
Yep. Thanks,
and
Ben.
I can get into the other part when we get back.
All right. Freedom Fiends. Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back, just as soon as this drone is out of range. Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at personal liberties. Now there's a movie that aims back.
The government has no more right to tell us what to put in our bodies than they have to take our guns or tell us what books we can read.
Six drug police were eaten by bears while raiding a marijuana farm.
On your knees, you dirty hippies!
Jesus.
On your knees!
What's the problem, officer?
Today, many cops who enforce pot laws do so only because it provides them with cushy jobs, good benefits, and a chance to push people around.
I was an undercover narcotics officer. The drug war is nothing but a farce.
The Second Amendment says you gotta keep you and your gat intact.
Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom. A film by Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadadi.
DVD available now at gunsandweed.com or on Amazon. That's gunsandweed.com. Makes the perfect gift. Remember, that's gunsandweed.com.
Welcome back to the Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. Hope you've enjoyed the show so far. It is now at the bottom of hour two. That means it's kaput for us after this segment here.
I'm kaput for us.
Kibbutz for us, yes. We're going to go work the land. Michael Dean, how you doing, Mr. Dean?
I'm good, man. I love radio. I love doing radio. I love being of service. And if you want to thank us for our service, go to freedomfiends.com and write to us, tell us things, but mainly comment on our site, comment on other sites about us, and buy our stuff. Buy our Freedom Fiends buttons. They're a great deal, man. They're really, really great deal. $10 for 10 buttons and a movie and a whole bunch of data and 68 episodes on one DVD.
Yep. And we've got a little bit of resolution for the last thing in the last segment. Michael brought up the point that a lot of people, eyewitnesses, described some kind of projectile launching from the surface and going towards TWA Flight 800. Ben Stone brought up the really great point, though, that the FBI interviewed a lot of these eyewitnesses, and the FBI's policy tends to be you don't actually record the interviews. You take notes as an FBI agent, and those notes are obviously your subjective writings on what the interview subject said.
Those reports right now. Who? Top men.
Yeah, they had top men working on it.
Right. Those top men can then take the notes and use them to fit whatever narrative they end up going with. So that's a great example.
You were asking about the media. The media may not always lie, but they just believe the lies. But the government, if the truth doesn't fit the lies, they make the lies fit the truth, man.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, 100%. And I think one of the reasons the media believes the lies is because they believe the government. That's kind of their job, is they're the heralds of what the state wants you to know.
So, you know what it's time for?
It's fun. Yeah, play.
Freedom Fiends Tweak and Review. It's time for the Tweak and Review.
So some people call it the mainstream media. Some people call it the lamestream media. Some people call it the corporate media. I'm going to call it the state media because just like we call it Barack Obama's the Obama regime, I think we can call it the state media. I'm talking about all those folks out there on cable TV or on network TV. And I think we can call them that because, hey, they are corporations and corporations are fictions of the state. They're sanctioned by the state. They're protected by the state. And so, yeah, man, the state media, it's their job to lie to you. It's to protect established interests because they protect the establishment's hide and the establishment helps protect them as well. I don't think you can ascend to the heights of the state media without believing in or being believable when you tell the big lie.
Which is why you left the state media. You worked there for a few years. You went to journalism school. You got a degree. You worked on TV. You wore a suit. You read from a teleprompter. You tried to do some research and they wouldn't really let much of it on the air.
Well, they wouldn't even let me get that far sometimes, you know. They'd tell me what they wanted me to cover, what kind of things they wanted me to cover. And it's hard to put the chicken or the egg first or figure out which came first because people want these establishment protecting lies because they watch shows where cops are the heroes and the government's your friend. And so
you made the point about like people get their view of the government and of the police state. They get it from the mainstream news, which is presented as truth, but it's lies. And then they get it from like Law and Order SVU, which is fiction, but it's presented as based on truth. And neither of them are right, man.
Yes. No, neither of them are. And, you know, an interesting point here is people, they love the police state. They think that they're good guys. And I think it's because of these fictional depictions that depict them as heroes. You look at any of the things where you think of heroes in movies and TV, and it's always some kind of law enforcement.
If you want a vision of the state, you know, when people are asking for more government, we need more government control. If you want a vision of the state, imagine a cop pepper spraying a hippie in the face forever.
Yeah. Yep. And I guess my point is, who buys it anymore? Who buys it? I don't know if anybody buys it, but the people actually in there now, people like Anderson Cooper, who pretend or lie. I can't tell which they're doing.
He has a filthy mother.
Yes. And thank you so much for joining us here on the Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. Join Michael and guests tomorrow. I'll be off on paternity leave. Thank you, folks.
Nikki Darling, we have a woman, and Mike makes right. Yeah, Freedom Fiends, worms.
Thank you for listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Make an appointment to listen while it's still legal. Learn more about the Fiends and download archived shows at freedomfiends.com. That's FreedomFeens.com.